Good morning and welcome to CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host, and this is the radio show where we talk about health from the eye, teeth on down. All health starts in the mouth. I don't think that's overstating it. I am a dental hygienist and I'm proud to be one, and I know what you need to know in order to keep your mouth healthy and in turn keep the rest of your body healthy. And I think that this is a topic that doesn't get played out often enough. Dental hygienists have a lot of opportunity to share health information with their patients, and they do. A lot of them do a lot. So I think that this is a very important piece of information that doesn't always get out. So I'm trying to make sure that I give you information that you can use and that is shareable. So please don't hesitate to share these shows with your friends and recommend them. And it's pretty easy to find now, crosslinkradio.com. And you can find me, Shirley Gutkowski, everywhere. I feel like I'm everywhere. And so that's what I do here on CrossLink Radio. And on Wednesdays, some of you may be very well aware that we talk about sugar on Wednesdays, mostly sweeteners, not necessarily sugar. Recently, I saw a video that was shared with me by the PETA group for nutrition, and they made a parody of the "I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony," which is the name of the song, which was then co-opted by Coke, and it was "I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke and Furnish it with Love," and so now they made a parody of that commercial, talking about "I'd like to buy the world some sugar" or something like that and give them diabetes. And it's kind of crazy. And that's why that kind of thing is why I wanted to have a sugar show. I asked Dr. John Peldiak to be part of that show with me, and he was very excited to be able to also bring accurate information about sweeteners to the world. The way that they have played out this sugar thing so far is that all sugar is bad and you're going to die from it, and the world is doomed now because everybody's eating too much sugar. We have sugar replacements. You can't just get rid of sugar. Sugar is a really inherent part of the human experience, and it is a signal to us of safety in food. So what's happened is that we've kind of co-opted that, and we've turned it into something else that may or may not be very helpful for us. So that's why I have a show called The Sugar Show. So that in particular, I hope that you find useful enough to share. But today is not a sugar show day. I don't know. I just kind of went off on a little tangent there because this is, kind of goes along with that a little bit. And that is about nutrients in plants and nutrients in different kinds of plants that are health promoting and also have an oral health component that drives the mouth towards health. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, mostly because I've been cleaning out my office. Wah, wah, wah. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, look at all these papers that I had printed out. I should probably look them over one more time before I throw them out. It's so hard for me to throw out these papers. Oh, my God. I have such an attachment to these scientific papers. It's a sickness. It's just a sickness. Not like I'm squeezed out of a room or anything, but there's just a lot. And I've been struggling all along with how best to manage all these papers. And I pretty much decided that I will get electronic copies of the papers and keep them in a safe spot. And if I need to print something out, I will print it out. But other than that, I won't. So that's what I'm doing now. And so I have all these papers here that were very interesting to me at one time. And there are three of them about berries. And I think I don't remember ever talking about them with this radio audience, so I am going to do it again if I did it once before. Otherwise, this is going to be the first time. cranberry has been capturing my attention for a very long time. Way back when I was doing a lot of research on what was happening in long-term care facilities, I made a recommendation that all juices should be swapped out for cranberry juice. I got some negative feedback on that and some positive feedback on that. So here's the story. The negative feedback comes because cranberry juice cocktail is usually very acidic and very high in sugar. And in long-term care, where people have biomass packed up into the vestibule between their cheek and their gums, and they have an excessive amount of biofilm on their teeth, that can get really concerning for some people. Now, take unsweetened cranberry juice, dilute it just a little bit more, and add maybe xylitol, a teaspoon of xylitol, or erythritol, or one of the other sweeteners that we've been talking about. We learned the other day that aspartame works best in a pH between 3 and 5, and I think cranberry juice kind of falls in there, so that would be a good sweetener for that. That would not be cariogenic. So, and cariogenic obviously means that it is not producing the acids that will melt the teeth and create a negative condition in the enamel. So cranberry juice has been very interesting to me for a really long time. Now, the benefits of cranberry juice are almost as long as xylitol, and they have a very, very high safety profile, cranberries do. This study here was looking at the interactions from 2013, the interaction between cranberry juice and clinical drug-drug interaction potentials. So we know that some drugs are altered, in particular by grapefruit juice. And some people are afraid of even using products that have grapefruit seed extract in them. So that's kind of a crazy, you know, leap. But cranberry juice, if we're going to want it to be healthful, and if we're going to want it to be, delivered to people in long-term care facilities, I don't want it to be interfering with the drugs that they're taking, and what is the potential of that? So I was happy to see that there was a paper here looking at that. So they were looking at cranberry juice as an inhibitor of three different enzymes, and they are not enzymes that I've ever heard of, so I'm going to assume you haven't either. So I'm not going to try to pronounce them. I have to be the only podcast where pronouncing some of the words are a real super duper challenge, and maybe that makes me sound like an idiot, but I don't care, because not everybody can pronounce any of this stuff, but it's still important for us to know, and I'm going to keep spelling stuff, and I'm going to keep doing it, so that's where I'm at. So looks like they were looking at amoxicillin, diclofenac, flurbiprofen, that's a good one, cefalexin, tizanidine, that may not be the right pronunciation, cyclosporin, salicylate. Now this one I have highlighted because it confirmed the positive effect of cranberry juice intake on the intestinal absorption of endogenous salicylic acid. I think that's aspirin. So it was looking at all of those drugs, and it was very clear that the data suggested, they always have to use this mamby-pamby language at the end of these papers, the data suggested that cranberry juice, unlike grapefruit juice, would not cause a clinically relevant drug-drug interaction at the dose concentration studied. And they did use a normal amount, let me see if I can dig that up, of cranberry juice. Where they ran into trouble was when they increased the cranberry juice intake to 2 liters a day. And I don't know many people that would drink 2 liters of anything except maybe Mountain Dew a day. So that was helpful to know that cranberry juice is not going to be interfering with a lot of the a lot of the drugs that a lot of people are taking. So here it is. However, it was apparent that consumption of large quantity of cranberry juice, 1 to 2 liters per day, or concentrate of 1,000 milligrams for a longer duration time, like 3 to 4 weeks, may be temporarily correlated with altered INR values. And that is the value that they study to measure clotting times. So that is one problem with overindulging 2 liters a day, 1 to 2 liters a day of cranberry juice. It may interfere with clotting time. Well, there you go. if you had sticky platelets and you are having a problem with an inflammatory cascade, cranberry juice would probably be extremely helpful because inflammation will cause the platelets to be a little bit more sticky and have a too fast of a clotting time. So I think that that's pretty understandable how that happened. So here was another paper that I downloaded that was the possible health benefits of anthocyanidin pigments and polyphenolics. That was from the Linus Pauling Institute and Oregon State University. Over 300 structurally distinct anthocyanins have been identified in nature. So they're pretty prolific. And when you find something that prolific, you're going to understand that nature wanted us to have it and that it's pretty important. And we have found that these anthocyanins are in colorful plants. There are anthocyanins, anthocyanidins, proanthocyanidins, and proanthocyanins. So you can see why you have to use a microscope when you're reading all of this stuff. And they're all a little bit different. They're all super similar, I found out by interviewing some researchers. Not enough that we outsiders, you know, would want to know the difference, but there is a slight difference. So this is what I have here. We measured over 50% loss of anthocyanins in cherries during 6 months frozen storage at a minus 10 centigrade. So we're losing something in our frozen vegetables, in our frozen fruit and berries. So here's what I wonder now. There was just something about the FDA that was talking that they stopped requiring country of origin labeling on meat products. I don't know. If you were an American meat producer and you put made in the USA or grown in the USA or whatever on that package, I think that's good enough because everything without it came from somewhere far, far away. And since Canada is pretty close and they operate on similar level than what we do here in the United States, which is superior to everything else in the world, she says, rolling her eyes. Anyway, Canada can also put their stamp on stuff. It's just not a requirement. I don't see why companies would stop doing it, except it's probably costly when you start thinking about how many packages of meat come from each animal, and then all those stickers cost a lot of money. I don't know. So now we know, well, now this study showed here from the Linus Pauling Institute that we do lose some anthocyanins in the storage and freezing of berries, especially in these cherries. I just bought cherries today. Golly, they're good. All right, so here's another article from Nutrients in 2013. Adult cranberry beverage consumers have healthier macronutrient intakes and measures of body composition compared to non-consumers. National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, better known as NHANES, 2005 to 2008. And they talk about flavonoids. Flavonoids are the umbrella term for the anthocyanins and all the ones that I just listed. So flavonoids are a part of the plant, and usually the colored part of the plant. So the first sentence in the abstract, flavonoids present in high levels in cranberries are potent bioactives known for their health-promoting benefits, but cranberry beverages are not typically recommended as part of a healthy diet. We examine the association between cranberry consumption with macronutrient intake and weight status. So they notice, too, that cranberries aren't recommended in a healthy diet very often. And I don't know if you've ever had cranberries, like raw cranberries. They are super tart. I don't know. Maybe you can just swallow it. I don't know. Maybe you don't have to chew it and bite it. So despite having slightly higher daily macronutrient intakes, cranberry consumers have more desirable anthropometric measures compared to non-consumers in the abstract conclusion. So what they did is they kind of broke everything down in people who were using cranberry juice, cranberry beverage consumption by the 581 cranberry consumers averaged 211 milliliters a day. So that's about 25% of a liter, or roughly 7 fluid ounces a day. So those tiny glasses that we used to get orange juice at the restaurant, a little bit more than that. That's what they were averaging per day. Compared to non-consumers, cranberry consumers were more likely to be non-Hispanic, Black, women over the age of 50 in self-reported very good or fair health. Cranberry consumers were also less likely than non-consumers to smoke every day. What? Cranberry consumers were less likely than non-consumers to smoke every day. So they didn't smoke. So that's interesting. So the kind of person who would choose cranberry is living arguably a healthier life in the first place. So that's really something, I think, and maybe should be explored more. People who choose healthier dietary foods like cranberry or berries in general often aren't doing risky behaviors like driving gasoline cars, riding a motorcycle with no helmet. They're also not eating, they're not licking the frying pan after the bacon has been made, stuff like that. They're not doing that. Can you tell I'm a cranberry eater? I don't know. Cranberry juice drinker. Let's see. Numerous clinical studies evaluating the association between cranberry juice consumption with urinary health, antioxidant status, or cardiovascular disease document the health benefits of consuming flavonoids in the form of cranberry products. Now, I've learned a lot about cranberry over the last year, thanks to Fruit Dior, and I have found out that one of the really main terms that they use in cranberry is PAC, proanthocyanidins. And those PACs come in high and low molecular weight, which only means big and little, or high molecular weight would be big chunks and low molecular weight would be small chunks. So once they mash out the juice, they're left over with this leftover. And you can get that in tablet form or capsules, and you can take just that, and you won't have to have the cranberry part if that doesn't fit with your dietary profile. And while I was using this study for whatever project I was using it for, seems to me that I suddenly came across a piece of information that I needed to drill down on, and that was the fructose amount in berries. And my notes here are pretty amazing when it comes to cranberry. So let's see here. These are milligrams of fructose in raw blueberries is 17,050 milligrams of fructose. Raw sour cherries, 14,000 milligrams of fructose. Currants, 12,000. Strawberries, 15,000. Now, if you remember from the sugar show, fructose is the one that causes the most trouble. Only when it's separated out. In the United States, we keep separating stuff out. And when you take the fructose out of these berries, or out of whatever they started in, that's where the trouble comes in. So these numbers are kind of funky because we have the whole berry here, right? So blackberry is 11,000 milligrams of fructose. Pineapple is 8,000 milligrams of fructose. Avocado, 96 milligrams of fructose. And I think you'll be very happy to know that cranberry has only 7 milligrams of fructose. So let me put that into comparison just a little. Sour cherries, 14,000 milligrams. Cranberry, 7 milligrams. So there we go. That's pretty amazing. So cranberries are healthful. They are represented highly in the group of people who don't smoke and take their health more seriously and that self-report themselves as being either in very good down to fair health. And they are also very, 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 very low in fructose. Yahoo! So let me take a little drink here and be back in a flash.
If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com. And now, back to the show.
So let's talk about flavonoid profile of Saskatoon berries and their health-promoting effects. So I don't know where you would get Saskatoon berries, but they are healthful. Yay! The abstract on this paper is pretty telling. And you may need to write some of this stuff down. I'll try to remember to copy it so that I can put it into the show notes here for you so you can check out the spelling. The major classes of flavonoids in the fruit are flavanols, which include quercetin and rutin. Now, the quercetin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it that right, but I've seen that term in a number of places before as a very health-promoting component. And I think that it is part of the teas. I could be wrong about that. I probably shouldn't even have said that out loud. Okay, so the major classes of flavonoids in the fruit are flavanols, flavanes, including proanthocyanidin compounds ranging from dimers through to heptamers and even higher polymers, heptamers. And finally, anthocyanins. So all of those were found in the Saskatoon berries. So that's pretty awesome. Many of these fruits are rich in antioxidants, especially the anthocyanins and proanthocyanidins. And that's why people are looking at these Saskatoon berries. They have a good structure picture here of the smoky Saskatoon fruit. Pardon my page turning here. Proanthocyanidins are condensed tannins as the second most abundant group of natural phenolytics after lignans. They are oligomers and polymers of flavin 3 all units widely present in fruits, in berries, nuts, and seeds. Proanthocyanidins are colorless oligomers and polymers of flavin-3-OL units. So this thing went way down into biochem land. So I'm going to spare us all the embarrassment of hearing me butcher chemistry and turn a couple of more pages because. So they went real deep into this fruit. It's really amazing how far these scientists will go to make sure that what we're eating is healthful. Or, I don't know, maybe they just got some extra money to do these studies. It's hard to know for sure. So there are anti-inflammatory activities of these berries, and that's pretty amazing because of the, in this case, the nitric oxide production in activated macrophages, indicating a potential protective role against chronic inflammation. So they, the extract of these berries helps to produce the nitric acid. We see nitric acid mentioned over and over again in the studies on airway. Concentrations of anthocyanins and anthocyanin metabolites in the urine reach levels of 8 micrograms per milliliter with 5-hour post-consumption and persisted for 24 hours in the urine. So it hangs around a long time. That's pretty good too. In addition, total levels of the anthocyanins and anthocyanin metabolites detected in the serum were observed at a concentration of 312 nanograms per milliliter within 2-hour post-consumption. So it goes up pretty fast. It lasts a long time. So that's pretty good. It's not something that I look for in these studies because I don't think to look for it. I don't know that any other study I've ever read even talks about the concentration in the urine or the serum after this or that amount of time. So that's good. These berries also inhibited COX-1 and COX-2 enzymes. So, oh boy, by 66 and 67%. So that's another example of using berries. And we talked about curcumin as a anti-COX-1 and 2 product. Anthocyanins inhibited COX-1 enzyme by 94%, wow, at 100 millimeter ppm, whereas COX-2 inhibition was the highest for cyanin at 75%. So using these crazy berries, the Saskatoon fruit can help reduce pain. So that's a really important feature that we don't ever talk about with these berries. The problem is that it's not manageable the way that we use fruit today. You'd have to eat a big boatload or drink some kind of a concentration and then remember to do it all the time. I made sauerkraut a couple of weeks ago and it turned out okay. It was just a little bit salty. But to use sauerkraut as a probiotic, you really need to be committed to sauerkraut. It's not bad tasting. It's just that it's kind of hard to remember to have half a cup or quarter cup of sauerkraut every day. And especially if you get a little heavy-handed with the salt. These new recipes are calling for kosher salt. And you can't use kosher salt the way that you do regular salt, I guess, because I almost ruined our chicken dinner last night, too. So... So there we go. Thank you so much for listening again to CrossLink Radio as I butchered my way through biochemistry. And I hope it wasn't too painful for all the people that knew what I was talking about. And I hope it wasn't too painful for the people who didn't know what I was talking about. But just think of it this way. There are really important inhabitants in the berry. And cranberry should not be eliminated from the berry family when we're discussing different kinds of cranberry and whether or not we should be using cranberry juice. Cranberry proanthocyanidins, the PACs, can be found in capsules. Look for the dark colored capsules and use them as you would any other supplement as often as possible because it reduces the amount of inflammation in the whole body. And it makes you healthier on a bunch of different levels. So thank you again for listening. Make sure you subscribe and leave a good comment in Stitcher. I don't know that iTunes is working right now with the new website. There's still a couple of little glitches like that. But I really appreciate every comment that is made. And so far, everybody's been commenting in a positive light. So I'd also like to invite you to take a look at the guided mastermind that I'm offering for dental hygienists and trying to help the hygienists incorporate this oral systemic science into their everyday practice. You can contact me at Shirley at crosslinkradio.com, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Have a good rest of the day. Bye.